So we're in a series for the last 3 weeks that has been called Refresh. And it's about getting a fresh start on your faith in the new year. And we're working through Romans 12 to be exact. And we're just walking through that. And Romans 12 is actually the second part of Paul's letter to the Romans. And Romans 12 is really about this life in Christ. And all of the beginning part is about what we understand about God, chapters 1 through 11. What do we understand about God? And now that we understand it about God, how do we live a life of Christ? And so we walked that talking about refreshing different parts of our faith. And now is that refreshing part where we have to be overflowing. We have to be overflowing. And so I've been dwelling on this for a couple weeks now about this last part in Romans chapter 12 and what it means to be overflowing and what it means to walk into people's life and know that we have to live this Christ-like life at all times. And I've been able to watch things around me and people around me and times when that doesn't happen. And I'm sure in each and every one of our families that happens. There are times when we don't live a Christ-like life. Who's ever yelled at their children? Anyone out there? Okay, that's great. Who's ever yelled at their husband or spouse or wife? Okay, that's great. Who's ever yelled at their parents? Let's just get the whole family mix into there, okay? Who's ever yelled at friends, right? And let that go, okay? Who's ever said, I'm not gonna forgive you? Okay, yeah, no one wants to raise their hand on that one, right? They're like, because I got to pray after this if I raise my hand. God knows that you're lying, though. So there's a part that we start with, and I got to watch this in my own family. I got to watch this in my own family this last week. Kaylee is my daughter. She is me and a 10-year-old, which is highly dangerous. And she's passionate. She's strong-willed. She's led towards leadership and jumping out in front, but she doesn't know how to manage that in relationship yet. She doesn't know how to process all that. And so this past week, she came to me, or it was a couple weeks ago, she came to me and she said, Dad, I'm having problems with girls at school. And I was like, are we getting to the girl drama stage? Like 10 years old, fourth grade? And I was like, it's about to happen. And she goes, they started a club. I have my friends, they have their friends, and they started a club. And it's the I Don't Like Kaylee Club. And I was like, oh, that's not good. And she goes, yeah, and they're talking about it all the time, and they're creating little meetings where they talk about the things they don't like about me. And I'm like, well, that's not nice, Kaylee. And I said, what did you do? And I said, how did you respond to that? Because I know what I tell people that I talk with that are adults and how to respond to those situations. But this is a fourth grade 10-year-old and my daughter. I said, what did you do? What was your initial response? She goes, well, I got angry. And I said, okay, that's okay. Sometimes we have a righteous anger for things that hurt us. And I said, what's the next thing that you do? She goes, well, on the bus ride home today, I grabbed my friends. And I was like, you grabbed your friends to do what? Well, we had a little meeting. I was like, what was your meeting about, Kaylee? And she goes, well, I got my friends to infiltrate her group and act like they don't like me so they can hear everything that's going on and report back to me. And then I'll have an insider. And I was like, wow, is this fourth grade, like conniving trickery? Like we got spies in other groups. Like, and I was like, part of my heart was like, you go girl. And I was like, get it. And then my other heart was like, absolutely not. And so I said, Kaylee, tomorrow morning on the bus, when you go to school again, you're gonna grab those friends you told to do that and tell them to stop. Absolutely. And I said, I want you to do one thing. And I'm telling this to a girl who's hurt. I said, Kaylee, I want you to be strong tomorrow, and I want you to go up to the person who said that they have an I Don't Like Kaylee Club, and I want you to say, hey, I would love to be your friend, and if she says something bad, I just want you to say it again. I would love to be your friend, and I'd love to, and it all started on the playground, of course, and I would love to play with you on the playground. That's all I want you to say. I don't want you to say anything else, and I said, if she doesn't want that, you can walk away, but just leave it at that. Don't say anything else, and there's no clubs, and there's no infiltrating clubs. I said, I don't want to see any of that. So she goes to school. And this is that like dad moment. You're like, I wonder what's going to happen. I don't know. And I want you to think about this in your own life when you've had people around you that have hurt you or slandered you and been in that space where you don't know how to react to them. So she comes home. She goes, Dad, I did it. And I was like, I don't understand. I did it. And she goes, I did it. I told my friends not to be in that group. I was like, okay, that was part one. Part two was to go up and say you want to be friends. And she goes, I did it. I went up to her and I said, I want to be friends. And I was like, okay, how did it go? And she goes, she stopped the club and we played tag today. We played tag on the playground, Dad, and all their friends came and played, and we were all playing. We did lava monsters, and we did this, and she starts going, and you could just see this light up moment, this just light up moment where we realize that relationship is key to everything in life that hurts us. Everything in life that's broken around us, when we want to say, I'm hurt, so I'm going to hurt you, Christ leads us differently. And it was the purest example in those who can create relationship instantaneous. We talk about it every Sunday. They can make friends, not be friends. Make friends, not be friends. It's true because they're willing to let go and do things like that and start new. It doesn't mean it's the last time. And I'm sure there's already been events since that they're not friends again and they're back friends again. And it's great. But there's moments in our life. And we need to understand those own moments in our life and how to respond to those. And Romans 12, the last part of Romans 12, talks about that. It talks about what happens when people around us don't treat us right. And what do we do as Christians, those who are walking with God? So I want you to open up to Romans. I want you to open up to Romans. We're going to be in chapter 12. We've been reading chapter 12. And we have a mission that everyone would have a Bible. And as you're opening your Bibles, Romans is right after the Gospels. So the Gospels start off the New Testament. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They tell the story of Jesus Christ. And then you get into Acts. So it's the continuation of the Gospel of Luke, and then Acts, and then Romans. And so you can be right there. And so as you're walking through, we love Bibles in church. If you got a Bible, raise it up. Raise it up. We love everyone to bring a Bible. Everyone say, bring a Bible to church. Bring a Bible. It's great. That is our mission. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. That's absolutely okay. If you have a smartphone, you can download the Bible app, and we have an event on there. Raise up your smartphone if you got it. We're in that culture now. Great. Download the Bible app. Bible app is going to be right there for your use. It has an event on it with all of our scripture, all of the message notes on it. So even if you have your Bible open and you love the good book, still open the Bible app because you can take notes right in it. And you can take notes on the back of your worship card also. So we got the Bible app open and we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. And we're going to be in the back half of this. So last week was up through 16 and we're going to be reading starting at verse 17 all the way through 21. And here's what it says. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Hear that one more time. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take the thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And it continues. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. Oh, we're going to get to that part. That needs another section. Hold on. We're going to read verse 19 through 21 in a second. We're going to go back to the first two verses. And I want you to hear how it starts. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. Here's what I believe, is that we have evil that surrounds us. We do. It's not something that needs to be avoided in scripture because we deal with it on a daily basis. In all of our friendships, even in our families, in our coworkers, in our cars, we deal with it all around us. And at times in scripture, we get so excited about this hope and this joy that we forget to talk about what is life like when people next to us are just plain mean. How do we respond to that as a Christian? Because I feel righteous in my anger towards them that they need to hear how it is. And I just need to tell you, and you're this. And then it says, but do what is noble. How many of you have ever said, well, that's noble? How many of you use that word anymore? I was thinking about that as we were kind of getting in the text. Like, have you ever called someone noble? Like, what do you think of them? I think they're noble. Like, has anyone ever said that about their friend? Okay, so I was looking up noble. It's a great definition. Listen to this. Noble means, in scripture in the Greek, beautifully good. An outward expression of love based on an inward reality. Hear that again. An outward expression of good and love based on an inward reality. Meant to be seen by others. Two parts. It has to come from inside you. It's an outward expression at that point, but it has to be seen by others. Do you know what our faith is? It's a public affirmation of our belief in Christ. Do you see the relationship to being noble? What Paul is saying here is you have to live your life of faith like it's meant to be seen by others at all times. And that means not just on Sunday morning, not when you feel good, not when your friends are being nice. That means when your friends and family and the ones that you don't even know are being mean to you, that you still must be noble, beautifully good. and not repay anyone evil for evil. And then it goes on to say this. Turn to verse 18. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Now that's a great line. If it is possible, so much as it depends on you. How many of you have lived noble lives up to this point? Noble, beautifully good lives. Like when people describe you, they're like angel on the earth, wonderful wings. I don't know where they're at, but I know they're hidden behind his clothes or her clothes. They walk and they exude light. I just want to be around them every day because they come up and they compliment the things that are going on. They tell me what kind of person they think I am in such a good way. And I just find myself gravitating towards this noble person. And that's the way they describe you to all their friends. How many of you have lived a noble life? As far as it depends on you. Is it possible if it depends on you? Think about that for a second. Is this life possible if it only depends on you? My answer to that is no. It must depend on God. And this actually comes from Matthew chapter 19. Listen to this text in Matthew chapter 19. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded. And then they said, then who can be saved? Talking about the scriptures and talking about this rich man who was there who couldn't enter the kingdom. But Jesus looked at them and said, for mortals, for humans, for you all, it's impossible. But for God, all things are possible. See, when we don't live noble lives, it's because for a moment we've forgotten our relationship with God. For a moment, our relationship with God hasn't been the riding thing in our life. And honoring God in all that we do is not the first priority in our life, which means that we've become fully human. And we've forgotten about our faith. And that's something that needs to change. And here's what comes next. Listen to verse 19 through 21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Who feels that they love that part of the text? Like you don't have to have vengeance because God's wrath is going to take care of it for you? How many of you feel that? Have you ever heard that text before? How many of you have heard that text and be like, this is a good text in my life right now? I personally, a pastor, has always loved that text. Because I tell people, I don't need to judge anyone because God's wrath will smite them. Like, I don't need to worry about it. Like, think about that. God's going, I got it handled. They're mean to you. Just let him get to heaven. Let him get to heaven. We're going to have a conversation. I'm like, it's all good. God, so mean today. That person, right? So mean today. Can you handle that one? Awesome. Good. I'm just going to live kindly and peaceably. I'm going to live like nobility. Use nobility in the future. Try that one. Think about this, though. What it says about our lives in Christ. How it says that we should live with Christ. And it says that we shouldn't repay anyone evil for evil. And then it says, hold on a second, I have vengeance and I have the wrath, so you don't need to worry about that. And when we go back into this, there's an important word in there. It says avenge. You don't need to avenge yourselves. Do you guys know what the difference between avenge and revenge is? I didn't. I was like, man, they're so close. I kind of always made them synonymous in my head. Avenge is this. Avenge is the reality of seeking justice for someone other than yourself. Seeking justice for someone other than yourself. Revenge is seeking harm or punishment based on your own feelings, hurt, or anger. I'm going to get revenge. I'm going to seek after because you made me angry, and now I'm going to harm or punish you because of that. Avenging is seeking justice for a wrongdoing, but not for yourself, on the sake of someone else. And here Paul is saying, do not avenge yourselves. Do not seek justice for this. God's wrath is enough for everything that's going on. I thought, wow, that's a really strong statement, God's wrath. And it says, yes, literally heap burning coals of kindness on their head and they will change, and God's wrath they will feel. And what this means in the text is that God's wrath is something entirely different. I think this might be our biggest fear, is that we talk about transformation in our life and transformation as Christians. But have you ever thought about God transforming the ones who are evil around you and what your response would be? I think our greatest fear in giving this to God might truly be that God might change their life. And this person that you felt righteous anger towards, this person that hurt you, this person that should have justice, God has redeemed and saved. Might be our biggest fear. Because then we have to embrace a child of God, not just someone who hurt us. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this different idea of transformation. And I went back to the beginning of verse 19 and what it started with. You know what it starts with? Beloved. This, to me, is one of the most important words of the Bible. It means God's divine love for you. Do you know why God starts that way and why Paul writes that way? It's because God has already done that in your life. God has already transformed you from the person that hurt people and broke people and had moments of sin in your life, and God has transformed you to be here in this moment, and you're on the other side of that, and God's going, no, I had grace for you. In those times when you walked for me, when you slandered me, when you yelled at me, all those times you were mean to other people and didn't follow along with the commandments, I had grace for you and I'm still here to redeem you. I came to save all, and yet you want to decide who's in and who's out. So let me begin with this. Beloved, my divine love is for you. And when we understand that, our cup will overflow. When we understand divine love, it looks like tag on a playground after I don't like you club. It looks like running with new friends. It looks like a community that surrounds you. It looks like transformed lives. So here's my challenge for you. Are you willing to accept that what God is asking you to do is to prepare your heart for every life outside of you to be transformed, so that you can look at them as a child of God? Or can you right now call them a child of God and show them that you've started a new life in faith, that you've been refreshed, and that now because you see everyone as a child of God, your cup overflows? Refreshing your life in faith is about seeing everyone as a child of God. And when you see that, your life will look entirely different, because it will have the light of Christ. So go today and share that with all those people who have hurt you, because they too are a child of God. And all God's people said, amen.